John 17, and I want to think through what our identity in Jesus is. Because who we think we are shapes how we live our lives. Who we think we are shapes how we actually live our lives. If you're defined by being a tourist, then you'll live like a tourist, won't you? You will go on holiday and you will say, oh, it's really brilliant being on holiday, because it has to be brilliant because you're on holiday. And so you have to be out of the apartment each morning at some unearthly hour that you never get up at when you're at home. You've got to get to the metro. You've got to negotiate all the stairs with lots of buggies. Whose idea was this? You have to walk up miles to the place with hundreds of other tourists getting in your way. You have to queue at the place so that you can get in to see the place. And then you obviously see the place a bit, and then you need a coffee. You get in another queue. And then you see more of the place, and then about 3 minutes past one, you eat your lunch. And then you walk back to the metro and you go to another place, even though it is raining, and you're just longing to sit down at home. It's not easy identity, is it? Some people with the same identity then live in all kinds of wrong ways, don't they? Follow me as a tourist, and now we're at the place. And there's these hundreds of steps, and there's an ornate building behind, and there are just hundreds of people coming up and down these steps, and there is a Mr. Poser standing in the middle of the steps, wanting his photograph taken. He's already had three goes at it, and he's very annoyed at anybody who goes past him, and the old tourist fool does go past him, and now he becomes Mr. Angry. It's brilliant being on holiday, isn't it? And then sometimes identity is something we don't want. Follow with the tourist stuff. We get back to our apartment. Yes, it is my holiday I'm describing. And there I am, sitting with a blessed seat, and a lovely book, and a great cup of coffee. Granddad, come play football. Now, sadly, my 2-year-old grandson has a very clear idea of his identity. He's the grandson and I'm the granddad. And granddads are there for one reason, that's to play football with, in my case. And now I don't want to be his granddad, at least for 5 minutes. And what about your lazy young uncles who are just lying about, apparently with oodles of energy, doing nothing? And who bought him the wretched football in the first place? Identity's not easy, is it? So who are we today? Because who we think we are shapes how we live our life every day. There are only two kinds of identities in this world. Let's get it simple. I'm a simple man. We either follow Jesus Christ as Lord or we don't. There may be other sub-identities under all of that, but those are the only two identities that matter. If we follow Jesus, we seek to be loyal to him and put his will first in our lives. If we do not follow Jesus, then we believe that we are our own Lord and we can do our own thing, and that's freedom. And anybody who does that is known in Bible terms as the world. So either you're following Jesus as Lord, or you're not following Jesus as Lord. These are the only two identities for human beings. Two things to say at 25 past 11. One, following Jesus out of loyalty in John 17. Jesus knows who he is. He is God in a human body. He is God's servant come to give eternal life to his followers by dying on a cross and rising again from the dead. if followers of Jesus know him in this way, they will know God as their Father and so be loved by God. And so therefore, to be savingly ruled by King Jesus is a very lovely thing indeed. You see, in this passage, which I won't go into with great depths, but Jesus is leaving his disciples. And he prays that God will protect them. In other words, please, Father, keep my followers loyal to me as Lord. This identity must not be lost as far as Jesus is concerned. What has encouraged us about the baptisms today is that they are a clear verbal testimony as well as a visual representation that Jesus is Lord and Lord of their lives. And they owe their loyalty now to him. Well, what should define our following of Jesus? What does that look like? Three things. A, Jesus says, it underlines to us the greatness of having a relationship with God. We can call God our Father through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be absolutely clear this morning that if we're a follower of Jesus, whether we are single or whether we are married, we already have the special relationship that we're looking for. We already have the special relationship that we're looking for. Many of us have crossed the boundaries into what is called the narrow life because of the glory of this greatness. Christians just look ordinary people, and they are. We're messed up as anybody else is messed up. We have our doubts and our fears. But there is an unseen greatness about followers of Jesus. That isn't always obvious. We call God our Father and Jesus Christ as our Lord. There was a guy being overheard in the coffee shop, not by me, and he was with one of these life coaches, and the life coach was trying to help him in all kinds of ways, and he didn't want to be helped. Eventually the life coach said, well, why don't you just commit to your girlfriend and marry her? And he said, well, I don't know if she's good enough for me. You see, my friends, the whole issue of commitment's right in the mix now, isn't it? But if we have a special relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's sorted. Why would we not commit to such a God who comes and searches for us and finds us through his Son? End of all commitment issues. Because we're committing to God the Father through God the Son. Come back with me to Mr. Poser. I don't want to be unkind to the boy. He was a lad. For him, on those steps in Barcelona, he was the center of the universe. But as I looked at him, trying to be patient, he stood alone in all the world. And he became Mr. Angry because I inadvertently photobombed his perfection. Well, he'd had three goes at it and I was fed up. And it struck me then, and I have prayed for him since, by the way. That doesn't justify my anger at the time. Because he had a narrow view of life. He stood alone in the world. The world had to stop for him. You see, when we know God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the biggest view of life. What defines a follower of Jesus is the greatness of relationship. Secondly, what defines a follower of Jesus is the importance of the words of Jesus. Jesus rules us through his words. He keeps saying it. He has given his words to the disciples, the words that God had given to him. These words were important because they were to frame the disciples then as they are to frame your life and mine if I'm a follower of Jesus now. So let's be clear today. To be a follower of Jesus, you have to cede control of the entirety of your life. The entirety of your life. And therefore, to be a joyful follower of Jesus, who cedes control to Jesus, means that we need to take the word of Jesus seriously. And sometimes that's the unwanted identity, isn't it? Because I read stuff in the Bible. I don't know if you're like me, but I don't always like what I read. It challenges my own lordship of my life. I want to do my own thing. And there are many occasions in my life throughout the week when actually I take off my identity of belonging to Jesus and I just do my own thing. It always ends badly. So go back to the apartment. Granddad, come and play football with me. Well, I want to sit in the seat, drink my coffee, and read my book. I want to be selfish Maurice Kinnaird. But I get up, somewhat reluctantly, go off to this passageway in our apartment that was longer than a football pitch. I'm not exaggerating. And the boy and myself run back and forward with a Barcelona football. And the squeals of joy weren't just from him. You get the point. Yes, to obey the word of God is not always easy for us. But I have to say to you, even in the pain, you suddenly see the joy of the Lord breaking into your life. So we are defined by a high view of the Bible. And we want to obey what Jesus says through the Bible. You can't be a serious follower of Jesus and not be serious about the Bible. Thirdly, an increasing sense of the glory of Christ. An increasing sense of the glory of Christ. Jesus says about his disciples that they have honored him. Glory has come to him through them. And to be a Christ-centered person, treasuring Christ in our hearts, underlines to us just how amazing Jesus really is. And I have to say to you, friends, the great thing about being a Christian is that truly we can have that sense of glory increasing in our hearts. This is what defines us as followers. Secondly, the clash of identities as I finish. Not everybody sees it like this, do they? No, they don't. The world does not love Jesus. The world hates the word of Jesus and seeks to oppose Jesus out of autonomy. And therefore, the world cannot tolerate people who put Jesus first. Loyalty to Jesus is the one thing the world will not tolerate. Stop obeying Jesus, the world says. Stop doing what he says. Do what we say. And yet we are people, if we belong to Jesus, who are called to go back to the world and share Jesus with the world. And for that to happen, the identity must not be lost. The identity must not be lost. For if the identity is lost, my friends, then Jesus is not going to be seen and heard, and he will not call anybody to leave the world and follow him and be saved and be given an eternal relationship with God. And some of us are taking the identity off because we think it's too much. We want cultural approval. And cultural approval is everything. We want to fit in, and everybody thinks we're great. Think about Mr. Poser. What does Mr. Poser need on the steps of Park Güell? I probably pronounced it rubbish. What does he need? He doesn't need another photograph of himself. He doesn't need another photograph of himself, does he? He needs Jesus. He needs to come to know God as his Father and into the biggest life of all. And so, my friends, let us be those who don't take off the identity. And so two things must shine through now as I finish. The world must see radical sacrifice. If the world is to cross the boundaries into what it perceives to be a narrow way of life, then we must show from within the boundaries a radical sacrifice to Jesus. We have died to sin. We are to offer our bodies then to righteousness. And therefore we must model that. We must clothe ourselves with Christ in that sense, because that's how he lived his life. But if they are to see a radical sacrificial living, they must see radical satisfaction in Christ. The joy and the glory of Jesus in our lives. Because whatever rules our hearts is the desire that will captivate our lives. Therefore, my friends, let us be those who believe that Christ is enough. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Well, let's sing as we close together. I think there's a song to come, In Christ Alone, and as the musicians come up. Maybe we should reflect about that. Maybe we should make a recommitment of our lives to Jesus. Maybe this morning, for the first time, you will cross the boundaries into Christianity, persuaded that this is not a narrow life. It is the most expansive life, the truly human life. This is the way to live. Jesus wants to be your Lord, my friends, and he will welcome you just as you are. As you come in repentance and faith, he will have you. And his greatness will come into your life, and his grace will save you forever and forever.